All right, today is a special day. We have baptism today. We should all be happy for baptism. Do you know that heaven knows that we're having baptism? Do you know that we know that we're having baptism? And do you know that the spirit world knows that we're having baptism today? It's known in the spirit realm. The enemy does not like baptism because baptism signifies that I am sold out for Christ. I've made my decision. And the enemy does not like that. He likes you to be wishy-washy. He likes you to be not too firm. But this morning, we're going to have 10 people step into the pool for baptism. And they made up their minds. They're going to signify to you once and for all, I've made up my mind. I'm determined to serve you. So we're looking forward to that. I would like to just speak on a subject that often comes up as we talk to people before we do the baptism. So I'll try to make it short. But this is a topic that we often think about and are not sure how to deal with. It has to do with, will a Christian be saved if he sins? What if he dies and he's had unconfessed sin? What if he dies and he has unknown sin? What happens then? We read that Jesus died for all sin. So does sin really matter at all? Or how does that all work? And First John says, if you say you have no sin, you're deceived, and the truth is not even in you. So it tells us that all of us are in need of a Savior. All of us. All of us. So if Jesus truly died for all sin, and then does sin even matter? It says, death came by one man, and so life came by one man. It also says, in Adam we all die. And in one man, we all have life. So is that really true? Or how does that really work? Because we have a list of things written in the New Testament that tell us people that will not inherit the kingdom of God. And there are things mentioned like fornicators, unclean person, covetous person, idolater, unrighteous person, homosexual, sodomites, lewdness, which means bad talk, evil talk, people with evil desires, says they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God. And so we ask ourselves, is that the only thing? And in another verse it says, and like things like these, they have no room in the kingdom of God. And let's look at it from a different perspective. Jesus says, if a man looks on a woman and to lust after her, he's committed adultery in his heart. If that is true, then the flip side is true as well. If your heart is righteous and your heart is after God, then you are righteous. Even though you haven't done all the righteous things. So it's a condition of the heart. It says in Titus, it says, to the pure, all things are pure. To the unbelieving, all things are not pure. So it's a condition of the heart. But so I'm just going to draw a quick visual here for us to think about this. So I'm going to put a box up here, and this is the box of salvation. As you remember, I turned 60 a couple weeks ago, so if I misspelled, that's because of my age. And so on this side, we are born again through Jesus, right? And that is by grace, through faith, right? Faith. So that's how we were born again. I think we could all agree on that so far, right? The only way to be born again is through Jesus Christ. It says, for by grace you have been saved, in Ephesians 2, verse 8, through faith, and this is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So we are not saved by works. We are saved by grace through faith. This is all spiritual. The ones getting baptized today, they've been born again. Some are going to get rebaptized, and I'll explain why. But our new birth is all spiritual. We can't see it. Jesus doesn't come down and give you a certificate. Now you're born again. No, you believe this word to the level where you say, it says by grace we are saved through faith. I believe that. I'm going to accept that. So it's all done by faith. It's all spiritual. That's why faith often wavers, because it's spiritual. It's not physical. I don't have faith that you're here. I can see that you're here. But in the spiritual realm, it's all in your mind. You believe it. And so faith is simply believing something to the point where we walk it out. That's faith. So we all have a level of faith. And so that's why salvation can sometimes be, am I saved or am I not? Because I don't feel saved. I have this bad desire. Am I even saved? And we go back and forth on that. Even praying, it's all spiritual. It's all believing. It's all believing. So all these things that are spiritual, that are believing, that are not physical, are hard for us to maintain sometimes. And we waver on those back and forth a bit. And so I'm going to draw another box below this. This is a box of life. We live here. We can say there's a lot of deeds here. There's works here. This is where we live. And so we're born again, and then we live in this box. We call this life. And in this life, we have a whole bunch of things that we can put on a list here. We have stress, right? We have a lot of stress in this life. Stress about everything. Stress about your work. Some of you have pain. You could put pain on that list. You have physical pain. You have emotional pain. You deal with issues. Maybe your upbringing. Maybe someone hurt you and they're dealing with a lot of pain. We're dealing with health issues, and we're dealing with relationships. We have issues with people, and people have issues with us, and we have misunderstandings, and life is complicated. It's stressful. And then there's finances. We have to work for a living, and are we going to have enough? And what if something happens? And what if our car engine blows? Are we going to have enough money to fix it? And there's all this stress about finances, and many people deal with that, and families. Maybe there's people in your family who are not serving the Lord, and you're worried about that, and it's stressful. You pray about this, and it's borderline worrying about it. There's thistles on the field. Farmers have to start spraying. If they don't spray, they don't get a crop. People who have gardens, they have to weed. Unless you weed, you have a poor garden. It won't produce much. The life is just a mess. Life is messy. Life is just messy. Then there's sin. There's all kinds of sin that happens. So if in this life you even sin, what happens? What happens to sin? Because that happens. And so, and our human nature is in that. Our self is in that. Our flesh is in that. We want things and we can't have things. And we start lust after things. And we desire things we can't have. And life is messy. Life is really messy. So this messy life. There's nothing easy about life. It takes a strong person to be committed in faith and to even read the word and to believe the word. It takes effort, and life is tough. And then there's faith. How are we going to have faith in all this? How do you have faith? You have these issues in your life and stress in this life, and then, okay, I'm supposed to have faith, and it doesn't feel like faith, and you're struggling, and you have health issues, and you're diagnosed with something, and now I'm supposed to have faith, and how do you do that? And it's complicated. Life is really, really messy. So we really need a lot of grace in this area. All these things that we've written down here. We need a lot of grace. Grace is favor, unmerited favor. We need grace to make it through life. We often say we need grace to be saved, and that's scriptural. But we also need grace after we're saved, after you're baptized. You need grace because life is tough. Life is not easy. It's messy. So then we say if we're born again, then we go to heaven. If we die, we go to heaven, right? I think that we would say that would be scriptural. We go to heaven when we die. So what if this life has been messy and then we die? What happens with all that stuff? If you didn't have faith, you couldn't forgive, what happens with all that stuff? Is that just, that doesn't matter? If I don't forgive, does it really not matter? If I live in homosexuality or pornography or adultery, does it really not matter? If you're saved, like what happens to all that? But the Bible tells us there's another step here, which is called the judgment seat. Judgment seat, that's called the Bema seat in Greek. So there's another step there before we go to heaven. It says we will all be judged. And let me just see if I can find that verse real quick. It says, and I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. That's where your name is written or not written. That's the book of life. And then it says, and the dead were judged according to their works. Oh, works. We just read that we were not saved by works. So we're not talking about salvation here. We're judged according to our works here. This is a works thing here. So we're judged according to our works. I thought we were saved by grace through faith. I thought we were not saved by works, lest any man should boast. And here it says, we'll appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll be judged according to our works by the things which were written in the books. So the books will have a lot of things written in them, and we will be judged according to that. So here's my bottom line. I believe that every sin has to be dealt with. Every sin has to be dealt with. Well, you might say, well, Jesus dealt with all the sins. Yes and no. I don't think so. I don't think he... Well, let me rephrase. He paid for all your sins. But unless you accept that for yourself, they're not just gone. I believe that here at this judgment seat of Christ, all the works will be dealt with. So if you live in unforgiveness as a believer, it has to be dealt with. If you can't forgive, you say, well, this is just too difficult. That was their fault, and I just can't forgive. It will have to be dealt with. Or does Jesus say, well, it doesn't matter if you have sinned, doesn't matter. As long as you're saved, live the way you want to live, doesn't matter. That would be a mockery to the atonement. It would be a mockery to the suffering on the cross. So I believe that every work will have to be dealt with and paid for. If we don't apply the blood of Christ to our sins, then it's still there. And I'm going to skip a lot of things here because we're short of time. But it says in Matthew 12:36, but I tell you that everyone will have to give account on the judgment day for every empty word that they've spoken, or every idle word. They'll have to give an account. For by the words you were acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned or be found guilty. So that is not referring to salvation. That's referring to the judgment seat. Over here, we will be of account for every word. So we might say, well, I'm saved. I thought I had said the prayer once and everything was done. I could just live the way I want to live. That's not true. That would be a mockery to Christ's payment on the cross. So we will give account for every single word that we've spoken, good or bad. I hope you have a lot of good words and you'll have a lot of good rewards, not punishment. And then referring to deeds, it says in Mark 9:41, I tell you that everyone who gives a cup of cold water because they're a believer will certainly not lose their reward. A cup of water. So everything that you do will be dealt with here at this judgment seat. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that everything has been paid for. For example, what about all the good deeds that you do in life? Does that not matter? If you don't do any good deeds, does that not matter? It matters. It will all be dealt with here at the judgment seat of Christ. And many of you will get thousands of rewards. I hope millions of rewards for what you've done. Millions, I hope. And it says, if there's bad deeds, they will have to be paid for. Let's read 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11. I'm not sure if they're going to be on the board or not. For no one can lay another foundation other than Jesus Christ. Anyone who builds on this foundation may use a variety of materials, gold, silver, jewels, wood, hay, or straw. But on the judgment day, this one here, on the judgment day, it says, fire will reveal what kind of work each builder has done. The fire will show if a person's work has any value. If the work survives, the builder will receive a reward. So if you've done anything good for the sake of Christ in your life, it will remain. You will be rewarded. That's on top of your salvation. That's not salvation. That's on top of your salvation. But if the work is burnt up, the builder will suffer great loss. The builder will be saved, but like someone barely escaping through a wall of fire. If you read it earlier in this chapter, it talks about some people believed in Paul and someone on Paulus, and there was a strife in the church. And he says there's strife, there's envy, and there's divisions among you. And he says that's carnal. You're a carnal believer. He says that will all be burnt up. But anything spiritual, I refer to anything spiritual as something you believe about the Word. And I walk out in the Word. If it says that we're not supposed to lie, and I do not lie because it says we're not supposed to, that's walking by faith. I believe the Word and I walk it out. I believe the Word and I walk it out. So all of us will be judged. And I'd like to read some verses out of Hebrews 10. These verses are very strong verses. And they go like this. Let us hold unwaveringly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another towards love and good works, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. Then let's listen to this, the next verse. If we deliberately keep on sinning after we have received the knowledge of the truth. If you deliberately keep on sinning once you're a believer, we call it once you're saved. No sacrifice for sin is left. There's nothing else left to pay for it. And then it refers to, but only a fearful expectation of judgment and of raging fire that will consume the enemies of God. And it refers to the Old Testament. Next it says, anyone who rejected the law of Moses died without mercy on the testimony of two or three witnesses. Then it says, how much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled the Son of God underfoot? In other words, you have been saved, but you didn't care how you lived. You didn't live righteous. You didn't live holy. It says, how much more? Who has treated as an unholy thing the blood of the covenant that sacrificed them, and who has insulted the spirit of grace. So we talk a lot about grace. I think we need a lot of grace in this box. We need a lot of grace to even stay firm, to even stay committed. We need a lot of grace. But grace was never there to to allow you to sin after you've accepted Christ. Grace doesn't cover that. And some of you will disagree with me. It has to be dealt with. I'm not saying you're going to go to hell, but it has to be dealt with. Otherwise, the cross would be a mockery. So everything that we do has value, good or bad. It will be dealt with. And so it says, how much more we deserve to be punished. For we know him who said, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. And again, the Lord will judge his people. It is a dreadful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Why does it say that? Why does it say that? Because it matters how we live. Even though you're born again, you're baptized. I hate when people say, I've been born again, so it doesn't matter how I live. Because God died for all of it. God's grace doesn't extend to those who don't accept it. We also read that God would that all men be saved. That's his plan. Why aren't they all saved then? Because they don't all receive it. It's a choice. We choose if we want to live holy or not. We choose. And our choices matter. As believers, they matter how we live. And so I believe that everything that we do will be dealt with one day. And I hope that none of you has to deal with sin on the judgment day. I hope all of you have repented before the Lord and agreed with him. I hope you do it every single day. Paul says, I have to die daily. Die to what? Die to his flesh. Because his flesh was not after God. It was after sin. So we have to die daily. So I want us to be encouraged that the blood covers all sin, but only if you receive it. Only if you accept it. It's not a free for all. Then the cross would be a mockery. Then if things don't matter, then it doesn't line up with the rest of the scripture. And like I said, our spiritual life or Christian life is spiritual. It takes faith. Sometimes you are not sure what you believe. Sometimes you're not sure, is this right, is this wrong? Has God forgiven you? You might even doubt that some days. It's all spiritual. It's all in your head, you could say. That's why we need to know this book so we know how to think. So we know how God thinks. So we know how God looks at sin. God wants to forgive every single one. He says, I wish that all would come to knowledge of him. Every single one. God has given us so much grace that you and I, if we sin, we can confess our sins, and he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. That's grace. He's made it so easy for all of us. So easy. But let's not for a moment think that life doesn't matter. It matters. How you treat one another really matters. It's all recorded, all written down. And I hope none of you will have to deal with sin on the judgment seat. Jesus died so you wouldn't have to deal with sin. If we receive his forgiveness, there's nothing left. But if you live in sin, then there is something left to be dealt with. I hope all of us will simply get rewards. I hope that our work will not be burned up and we will say, oh my goodness, I lived all my life. I tried to do what is right, but it's all for nothing. Do what you do in the name of Jesus and for his sake. And it will remain. Every single time it will remain. So Christ died for sin. He died for all sin. That we don't need to perish but have everlasting life. But we need to agree with God. We need to agree with God. I believe if I'm not concerned as a believer whether I live a clean life or not, then I need to ask myself, am I really a believer? Who is my Lord? If I really don't care, if I can just live carelessly and nothing matters, then we need to ask ourselves, who's my Lord? Is it my flesh or is it really the one who died for me? Every healthy believer is like a cat that you throw into the water. They will immediately, as they get out of the water, they will lick themselves totally clean. Have you seen that? We used to throw cats into the water when I was young, and I don't think that was a good idea. Not a good idea at all, but some of them were ponds, and they were dirty ponds, and as soon as they got out, they would lick themselves totally clean, every time. They would sit for a long time just lick themselves. I think we're the same. We applied the blood of Christ to our sin, to our dirt, every single day. In fact, I believe if we live with that mindset that I want to serve the Lord, then I'm pure. Then I'm pure all the time. Because if I do sin, I quickly apply the blood. To the pure, all things are pure. To the ones who have this mind of Christ, you seek the kingdom of God, I believe they're completely pure all the time. Because we don't live in willful sin. If we think that anybody dies and has not sinned, we're deceived. Even in this list, in this stress list, we sin every day. Worry is sin. Fear is sin. So we need grace to cover just the basics, never mind even willful sin. So I'd like to encourage you with that. Christ died for all sin. Apply it to your life. He died to save you. Accept it for your life. He's made it so easy. Okay, we'll end with that. Let's pray, and then we're going to get the ones that are going to be baptized up on stage to be for their testimonies. Looking forward to that. It's going to be great. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would just clarify the word to us this morning that we talked about, that we would see it the way you see it, and that we would read the word the way you have written it and understand it the way you meant it to be understood. And I pray now that as the applicants come up for their testimonies, I pray that you would give them a calm heart to speak. I pray this could be a time of speaking their faith out into public, that they confess with their mouth the Lord Jesus, that it would have a power in their life personally. God, we love you. And we're thankful for all these that want to be baptized and to shout to the world, to the church, to the people watching, that I've committed my life to you. You are my Lord Jesus. Thank you for each one of them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.